I'd like us to look briefly at Habakkuk in the Old Testament. The book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was one of the minor prophets. It's a small book, only 56 verses. But Habakkuk was looking at difficult situations that he was facing in his life. Habakkuk was looking around him and seeing some terrible situations going on. Some of the problems we go through are unavoidable. Sometimes we have accidents that are our own fault, something that we did wrong. Sometimes we go through consequences because of choices that other people have made. Sometimes we go through consequences because of our own sin. And as Habakkuk looks around him, he's seeing the consequences in Israel of their sin. And he's looking at terrible situations. And in these first three verses, it mentions the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Verse 4, therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgments proceedeth. I've heard it many times, as I've been here back in the States just a little over a month, the policies in the country right now, the hike in the gas, the complaints, the evil that's going on in different groups. We look around and we have society problems that are scary. Habakkuk looked around and he saw a situation in his society that were scary. He saw violence happening. He saw people doing evil things. And he saw that the law was not being upheld. And yet the Lord comes to him with a very interesting statement. He talks about, yes, the things are bad, but they're going to get worse. He said in verse 5, behold ye among the heathen in regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. You know, we look around and we see bad situations around us. We go through bad situations when somebody gets sick, when somebody loses a job, when there's family problems that arise. Many different situations, and we grieve about that. But I don't think that we have ever had to face what Habakkuk was facing here at this moment. He knows what's going on in the society, and then he hears the word of the Lord saying, don't worry, it's going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse. And as a Christian, I look at the situation around us, and I don't like it. I grieve about it. I long for the days when we didn't have all these problems and difficulties. But the Bible tells us it's going to get worse. We see the rise of evil. We see how God has been taken out of society. We realize that we need to continue looking to the Lord. He's still on the throne. Habakkuk looked around and the situation was very terrible. God tells him the Chaldeans are coming and it's going to get a lot worse. Imagine us hearing that news from God. Such and such a country is going to come and they're going to wipe out South Carolina. Think about that. That's what Habakkuk was hearing. Yes, Habakkuk, things are bad. Things are going to get a lot worse because Israel has sinned. And yes, Habakkuk complains about that to the Lord. He waits to see what the Lord is going to say. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I believe Habakkuk was maybe hoping that the Lord would change his mind. Lord, maybe things don't have to be like you say they're going to be. But the Lord comes back, verse 2, and answers, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. He's saying, Habakkuk, what's going to happen is going to happen. Write it down. Like you say now, mark my words. God's saying this is going to happen. Israel's going to pay the price for what they've been doing. And we live in a world that's paying the price for their sin. And we have the gospel. And we need to share it. Here he told him to write it and that they should carry it out. Put it upon tables. He may run that readeth it. And we still have the sacred obligation to proclaim the fact that the Lord is coming back and people need to be ready. We need to be ready for that day. Things are going to get a lot worse before that happens. If people don't turn to the Lord, they're going to be in a terrible predicament. Our hearts grieve over our neighbors. When we first got to Argentina, we had a rough time getting into the community. Tandil is a closed town. It's that way. If people from Buenos Aires come to Tandil, it's hard for them. They have a phrase where they talk about you have to earn the right to step on the ground. That's the saying. You have to earn the right to be there, to work. But the phrase they use is you have to earn the right to step on the ground. And for 9 or 10 months, our little kids, which one's not so little anymore, he's getting married in less than 2 weeks. For 9 or 10 months, they had no kids to play with. The neighborhood kids didn't want to talk to them. They would go in their house and peek through the curtains. But they finally started opening up. And Ruthie started a baking ministry where she started taking cookies and bread, all kinds of goodies to our neighbors. Started opening doors. We had one neighbor who was very opposed to us being there. When kids finally were playing with our kids, we would have children on our sidewalk out in front of our house. And every once in a while, there were kids two doors up that would, kind of two or three doors up, that sneak down. They'd be playing with the kids down in front of our house. And the mother would come out and she would yell, I told you, not on that sidewalk, not in front of that house. There was some opposition there. She didn't like us being around. She wouldn't step on our sidewalk. She would cross the sidewalk to go past our house and then come back across the street, continue on her way. Today they're good friends. Well, good friends. They're friends. They talk to us and they're friendly. We can talk on the streets. Jonathan mowed their yard and did stuff for them for a long time. It took a long time to get inroads. But doors are opening and we're grateful for that. As we were getting ready to come up here, our next door neighbor, who thought we were going to leave the country after being there for 2 years, she kept saying we were going to leave, we're going to leave. She kept asking my wife, so when y'all leaving, when y'all leaving? It wasn't finally until after 8 years, she finally said, so y'all are staying. She's the one now, when, as we were preparing to come up here, she said, now you all come back, don't stay up there. And we cry for these people. We witness to them. They still don't want to hear the gospel. Her great uncle was the Monsignor of the cathedral downtown for many years. And so she holds on to that fact. Her husband holds on to that fact as well, because a Jehovah's Witness came by our house one day, and I was sitting at my desk. I had the window open, and I heard him come out to talk to the Jehovah's Witness. He's like, "I'm okay because my wife's great aunt was Monsignor, whatever, Luis Actis, and right next door I have a pastor." So he kind of sandwiched himself safely in between the two, saying, "I don't need any more from you." But our hearts go out for these people. We pray for them. We need to carry the gospel. We need to carry the news. What he was carrying here was bad news. We have the good news to carry. And although we look around and we see that the situation is bad, the times are rough, when we come to the end of Habakkuk's prophecy, he knows that God has said it's coming. And I'm not going to back off on it. It's coming. And with that knowledge in mind, knowing that God is on the throne and God is bringing the enemy to destroy, to punish, with that in mind, we come to the end. Verse 16 of chapter 3, Habakkuk says, "When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice." Have you ever gotten so scared about something that your body shakes? I have a friend that he never could speak in public. He would. I mean, he did it, but his lips would just shake, 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 shake the whole time, and he was very nervous, and the Lord used him in a great way, but he just couldn't hide it. But we get nervous when we hear bad news, when we hear something. Habakkuk heard this bad news. Problems are coming. God's punishment is coming. It's not getting turned away. He says, "I heard it and I trembled. My lips quivered. Rottenness entered into my bones." He felt terrible. He felt miserable. Christ started getting some ulcers, worrying so much that the grief of what he had heard. He said, "I trembled in myself that I might," look what he says, "that I might rest, in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines." Usually when the enemy came, they cut down all the trees, all the fruit trees, all the vines, devastated the countries so they would hurt the country even more. He says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olives shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." And look what he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." In difficult situations, as Christians, we can rejoice in the Lord. We can know that He is in control, and that whatever happens, He is in control. I know that there are many situations in my life, many situations in our lives in Argentina, things that came up where we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if paperwork was going to go through. We didn't know if they were really going to make some of my family members leave the country. But the Lord is still on the throne through it all. The Lord's still on the throne in each one of our lives. Whatever you're facing today, whatever difficult, painful, agonizing situation you're facing, remember the Lord's still on the throne. And whatever He has allowed in your life, He's allowed it for your own good. He's on the throne, and He's going to do His perfect way in your life. He's going to follow through to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. He says, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." He was determined when the enemy comes, when these great conflicts arise, when everything is wiped out, I will rejoice in the Lord. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places. He was determined to let the Lord be glorified in his life. And we need to let the Lord be glorified in our lives in all we say and do. Whatever happens, whatever situation arises, my dad used to say, keep your chin up. Keep looking up. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep sharing the gospel. I hope you're sharing the gospel with your neighbors. I hope you're sharing the gospel with your co-workers, with your friends. Because if you don't, who will?